CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. All right, what's going on? All right, we're all up. We're ready to go.
Yep.
Damon will be joining us in a minute, and you could be part of the conversation. Join us on cliffcentral.com. You can listen to the podcast a little bit later, or if you like this, you can always be, you can always be watching us live. And here we are on Webinar Jam, which is the software that we use to do all of our stuff. That's right. Okay, loads of people already on. We got a nice little crew to start our day. I see Ruth says she's like up really early this morning. So, yeah, happy morning.
Thank goodness we are so real on the show.
No. We don't. There's nothing. Like, if you had to. Like this morning, we were talking about why Gord isn't on the show this morning, and it's all because I suspect that he just smokes too much weed and he's just lazy.
I didn't realize that was going live.
But I mean, I would say that to Gord too. So it's not as if anything, it's not as if anything that we discuss here is something I'd be embarrassed to talk to the person in question about. I mean, that is one thing I've always appreciated about doing the stuff that we do, is that we don't really have like, stuff that we leave on the cutting room floor, you know? There's always something that someone would... I mean, most people don't talk like we do on this show. Most people don't... They're not honest about what's going on around them, and they will bullshit. I was actually thinking about this just the other day. I did a talk last night for Rotary, which, you know, they do really tremendous work, and they managed to raise funds for some very important social things, some problems that people are having. It's a fundraising charity, among other things. And I was talking to them about COVID and kind of the way things have changed. And a lot of this COVID stuff I'm really tired of talking about. But it was for them, because a lot of speakers will be really PC and they'll talk about all the positive and uplifting and exciting things, which I did too. But they won't talk about the downside of it and how much bullshit it's introduced to our lives. And so I think it was different to anything that they were used to last night. And the same goes for the show. If you listen to normal radio or you listen to, you know, the same kind of current affairs shows every day, I think you'd have a very different idea of what the world's all about, as opposed to what you might get from us here. And hopefully that's one of the reasons people keep coming back. So bring it on.
It's a bit of a regret of mine when I think back to, because we know these people in this line of work that we're in who aren't as real as us.
Yeah.
And they're one thing off air, then they're another thing on air. And so since I started working, it's a bit of a regret that I didn't keep a bit of a journal or notes of some of the stories.
You can go back
that
and
I would
get,
pick up on.
I think you can go back and get every single show we've ever done.
No, if you had
the time and the trouble.
of people behind the scenes. You know, we would get people early in the morning in studio. They'd really come in like 30 or 40 minutes before they'd have to go on because they want to avoid morning traffic. So these people come in, they're a little groggy. They, you know, something might have happened the night before. And some of us, you know, the team are the first people that they can speak to about what happened. So there'd be all of these stories. And I just like, it's annoying that I didn't, you know, make note of it. That's when you really see the real people.
Well, I mean, I won't say that this is something I've come up with on my own over the years of doing radio and TV. I mean, I always took huge inspiration from people like David Letterman, who always let the audience in on what was going on behind the scenes. You know, he'd bring his producers onto the TV show, and Howard Stern would do the same thing on his shows, and you would really see how things were working. You know, if there was a fight going on. Like, I've often taken stuff on air that most people would have kept in the office. Like if I'm having a fight with somebody, I'll bring it on the show and we'll deal with it live. Mm-hmm. Even if it doesn't always go well. And even if that person has a temper tantrum.
Unnerving sometimes.
Yeah. No, I know in the beginning you didn't like it because you don't like conflict. And I would have fights with whoever, be it Mabali or Damon or Leanne or you. And some people don't like that even if it isn't public. Very few people can handle it publicly. So I love it. But it's something that I've always thought was really important, because what it means is that the audience know that you're not just putting on an entertainment show. Like, they're dealing with real people here. So that's one of the things that we've always tried to do with this show. Damon is joining us, which is great. Sia's here this morning. You're here this morning, and you can get hold of us on 0797482090. In fact, I'm just looking at the messages this morning. Now, Aisha, I was stressing there. Glad to hear you guys are so real, but still respectful, even when you think you're not being heard. But Jesus, my heart started racing. That's what Bridget says. Reminds me of Curb Your Enthusiasm, accidental yet on purpose. Yeah, that happens. I don't know why it would be a problem. I'm not at all upset by any of this. I mean, these are the same conversations. If you had to sit through Sia and my meetings, you'd get the same stuff as you get on the show sometimes. Hey, Damon, what's up?
Sure, man. You know, I paid 45 million rand to get this Wi-Fi installed. They also deep cleaned my house, but it still didn't. work for me. I mean, I couldn't get it in. It wasn't working.
Yeah.
And why I just
why did they have to deep clean your house for the Wi-Fi?
A friend of Panyaza Lufsufi came to my house to clean and fix up the Wi-Fi and everything. I think I was robbed.
Panyaza Lufsufi. Hey, have you seen those teams of people who wear the hazmat suits? I mean, I saw them at Jackson Mtembu's funeral on the TV. They wear the whole hazmat suit, and that stuff is bound to make people a little bit paranoid. I mean, is that really necessary? They're telling us that a mask is sufficient.
As much as I believe that the coronavirus is a real thing and it's a real pandemic and people are dying, the hazmat suit doesn't make any sense. It's completely stupid.
It's dumb, right?
Yeah. It's dumb. But on the other hand, I do understand people who work in hospitals.
Yeah.
Because I have a nurse friend, and I asked her, why do you have to wear all that stuff? And it kind of makes sense because they're dealing with a lot of people all the time.
Yeah.
Also
in a hospital, you've got other pathogens that are running around, and you know, there's every reason to take extra precaution if you can. Although I know many doctors who've just given up completely on trying to do the hand sanitizing and the mask wearing, and they say it's too difficult to do your work and actually have all that stuff in the way. I don't know. I think it's up to individuals. Yeah. I've always maintained that. So, Damon, I want to bring you in on the conversation that you you missed while you were away. So we were talking just before the show started about Gord and kind of why he's not on the show this morning. And it was already live, which happens when we go live some mornings. And we were just saying how this show's always been kind of there to let people in behind the scenes. And I mean, you were there from the beginning too, so you know how true this is. And I mentioned how David Letterman used to do it and Howard Stern used to do it. And when we would have fights, I would try to have them on the air with you or with Tabo or with Mabali or Leanne or whoever. And I suppose that's also something that a lot of people, South Africans don't actually handle conflict very well.
Mm.
Most people don't. But South Africans are really bad at it.
Yeah, no. I'm like up and down. I'm inconsistent. Sometimes I'll do it, and other times I'll avoid it. It depends.
Yeah, but you also understand that we've always tried to let people in on what goes on behind the scenes on the show.
So what happened with Gord?
No, nothing. I was just speculating that part of the reason I think that he doesn't do more shows is just because I feel like, and I've said this to him on air, I've said to him, you know, he's lazy and he doesn't like waking up early. And I do know that he smokes a lot of weed.
Okay.
So it wasn't, nothing, it's nothing that I wouldn't say to him or that hasn't been discussed before. But what I mean by that is that we often talk about stuff like that on the air, which most people would not. They would keep it to themselves, or they would be shy about talking about it. Ruth says you're looking good.
Say that again. Sorry.
Ruth says you're looking good this morning. You're looking, I don't know what she's seeing that I'm not seeing, but okay.
No, Ruth. Ruth, I think I've lost 4 kilograms or 4.5 kilograms. I haven't weighed myself this week.
Yeah.
But you know what? As I said to you the last time I spoke to you, I found that if you eat less, but also I haven't had any chocolates. I started drinking this lemon beer. There was Radlers and Flying Fish. I've stopped drinking that because I think it's very, very fattening. Mm-hmm. And there you go. No exercise. I haven't hardly any exercise. The cycling has gone down the toilet.
I see Caleb's just joined us. He's in Kurdistan. He actually sent us a message yesterday. Hey, Caleb, what's up, man?
Hi, Gareth. Hi, Sia. Hi, Damon.
What's happening, dude?
How are you guys doing? Just want to, touching base with being honest and in light with the one thing for the week. So I did that, and I got some very interesting response. I thought I'd share that with you guys this morning.
All right, so let's just recap everybody on what this is. Once a week, we've got a little thing that everybody can take part in, and it's something that's in some ways a bit of a self-improvement thing, but it's also just something to keep us all sane during lockdown. And to add a part of our routine every week that makes us hopefully a little bit better. This one was that you need to go to 3 people who you love and ask them to tell you one thing they dislike about you. And then you're going to write that down and try and change it over the course of the year. Are you talking about this week's one?
Yes, I'm talking about this week's one. Okay. So I phrased the question interestingly because everybody who kind of knows me very well is not with me at the moment because of where I'm living, obviously.
Right.
So I texted, I decided to go for 4 people. So I had a friend who I've known for 14 years. So we went to the same primary school, same high school, and we lived together in uni as well.
Yeah.
And then I went for my adoptive mom. I think the adoptive part is very important because it was a choice for me to be in her life, so she didn't have to do it. And then the last part was one of the people I currently share the flat with, because obviously you're living in Kurdistan. The accommodation is obviously compound of a setup because of safety and all of the rest of it. So my friend of 7 years, I said to him, anything as serious as you can be or as petty as you can be. And he said, well, it's safe to say that we're past the like part because I like you already. It's 14 years. But the one thing I hate is the way you squeeze your toothpaste. That was the first thing.
It's a little tiny thing. Then, so how do you do that? Do you squeeze it in the middle?
You've got to choke it from the top, right? And then, and then squish it and... The same way Damon squeezed your sanitizer some months ago is how I normally do it. And then the second one was from mom. She said, well, I hate the fact that you make everyone else around you feel dumb. I know I'm stupid, but you don't have to remind me most of the time.
Wow.
And that kind of got me thinking. And then the last one was... The person I live with.
By the way, Mbulelo does that all the time. He. No,
oh, you mean Musi Maimane? You mean Musi? Okay.
Yes. Again, the last one.
But before I go, the last one was from the guy I currently live with. I said, "What's the one thing that you hate that you'd obviously want to change?" And he says to me, which was kind of in tune with what mom says. He says, why do you always have to say that you know all of these things? Yeah. Not all of us have the time to do what you have time for. And I think it's important that in as much as sometimes we want to be honest, we should also consider the impact it can have on the next person. And I think that was something that I would want to improve, that you don't always have to be arrogant. And something as petty as toothpaste can actually ruin somebody else's day.
Mm.
And you can only find these things out if you ask. Because people don't always know, right?
Well, that's why this may seem like a stupid exercise to some people, but this stuff really does work. And I've been accused of the same thing as you were by your friend and your mom. And you know what? It comes from like this need that people like you and I have to be right. And I've worked hard, especially over the last 10 years, to stop trying to be such an asshole about it. Because often Damon, you remember how I used to be with religion. I was an absolute pain.
Yes.
I was an absolute pain in the ass. And I can honestly tell you, I haven't had an argument or even a willful discussion with someone about religion for 5 years now, where I've had to have an, you know, it was so important for me to be right. It was so important that I made other people feel wrong and that they were stupid. And it took me a while to realize that, but it's something that hopefully has improved me a little bit and made me less obnoxious and irritating. So Caleb, I'm with you, dude. I know exactly what you,
She said something important. She said, you know, sometimes being right is overrated. And I had to have a good thought about it and say, well, absolutely, because sometimes you might be right and you might be saying the truth, but it might then end up making you lose the entire war because you're trying to win this little tiny battle, which is probably not as relevant as you think it is. So I just thought I'd share with you guys. Good to always
good
link
stuff,
up with you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the call. All right. There we go. There's Caleb all the way from Kurdistan. Yeah, that's such a good point that he makes there about, you know, all those things that he finds or that people find irritating about him. Oh, have you ever asked Bernice? Does she? You don't need to ask her. She tells you, right, Damon? She tells you all the irritating things.
I don't. Exactly. Farting.
Yeah.
not listening.
Yeah.
Behaving like a child.
Yeah.
Being too soft on my own child. I was cooking the schnitzel. The schnitzel was in the oven, but the mashed potatoes was already done. My daughter wanted the mashed potatoes then and there, and I should have said no. Let's wait for the schnitzel to be ready, but I didn't. I was going to give her the mashed potato, so I got into trouble because a child must know structure.
Okay,
there's no structure. Structure is very important.
Do you ever
I was going to split dinner into two separate dinners, which that was a mistake.
Do you ever tell Bernice what irritates you about her, or do you just stay away from that? Is it too much work?
No, it's done very carefully and gently. You know, like how you handle nitroglycerine. it is done.
So then
she's an obsessive sweeper and an obsessive cleaner.
Mm.
And I bring that up, and I mean the other day I'm watching the Ted Kaczynski documentary, and suddenly she's in front of the TV because she's sweeping.
Yeah.
I mean I thought, you know, what the hell? Do you have to sweep now? You know, that kind of thing.
And are you guys at a point where either one of you can accept this without it being a big thing? Like, it's just something that the other's pointing out. It doesn't mean it has to lead to a fight. Because it's also...
We haven't got there yet. We haven't got there yet. There's still good conflict. We haven't got there yet. Like, she'll accuse me of raising my tone. Like, if I raise my tone by half a decibel, I mean, I'm in trouble. And she makes me aware of that, but she's allowed to raise her tone.
Oh yeah,
and we have that, and there's that constant argument about that, which is quite something.
By the way, Damon, you referenced this last week, I think, and you're talking about Ted Kaczynski again now.
Yeah.
You got me down such a rabbit hole after you mentioned him because I was just, I knew the story, but to me there was this missing part of what actually happened around that time.
Mm. You're the Unabomber.
And I ended up discovering this. It's part of a documentary series called Our America. That it was from years ago. But this particular episode spoke about the family of killers.
Oh.
And how their lives are impacted. So, you know, it's all good and well. I say
is this on Netflix? What is this on?
I found it on YouTube. Yeah. So I say it's all good and well in inverted commas that, you know, these things happened, but the person is either has been put on death row or in prison. How do you go on as the family? And especially if you're in a small town, like you can't go anywhere with the surname Kaczynski and no one will raise an eyebrow.
He's right? kind of ruined so it for everyone, even, yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of fascinated by the fact that it was Ted Kaczynski's brother who actually sold him to the cops.
Yes.
So, yeah, and that was a missing piece of the story that I didn't know. And his brother speaks about how he was toing and froing about whether or not he will go, and he just felt like it was the right thing to do, and he was going to be saving many more people's lives by going to the cops. But what a tough thing to do, man.
Yes.
Well, you know, you get those families who, when somebody in the family has committed a murder or whatever, they all rally together and they protect that person. Mm. Or you get those families who immediately go, no, I'm sorry, I can't be a part of this. And they turn them in and they let them loose. I don't know which
one. I've got a habit is that I'll go to Wikipedia and look up a Nazi, and then I'll look up their children and see what their children are up to.
Oh, my God.
I know that. Because it's very children of Nazis, and it's like 50-50, eh?
So, why do you do that to yourself?
It's just so interesting. Imagine if your father was a Nazi.
Oh, my God.
And some of them changed their surnames.
Have you ever encountered anybody who was the actual child or grandchild of a Nazi in real life?
No, how could you do? Yes. Yes. Oh. My wife knows, he fixed our laptop. His grandfather was a Nazi.
Oh my God, did he do a good job on the laptop?
Gareth, very interesting. If you look at these documentaries, there were approximately 300,000 Nazis in World War II. Only 147 were ever prosecuted. And if you were Austrian, you never got prosecuted. So some Nazis came to South Africa, but most of them stayed in Germany or went to Argentina or Brazil
or Chile,
all over the place. Mm.
And Southwest Africa, which is now Namibia, that was a German colony, so a lot of them went to Namibia as well.
It's quite something.
So what would you do? Because you can't hold the child responsible for the sins of the father, right? That's an old adage.
When I read the stories, it's just interesting that some of them hate their father, and some of them support their father and say the Holocaust never happened, and some of them change their surnames. It's pretty interesting. The one child even converted to Judaism and immigrated to Israel. In the one case, I don't remember the names and all the details. But yeah, I just found it interesting. I've looked up Ted Bundy's child, the serial killer. I try to find information on his. He's got a daughter. I think she changed her name, something like that. Yeah. Is that weird?
It is weird. I mean, especially because a lot of these people do change their names, and they actually, you know, if you've got a really notorious ancestor, a lot of people do. They have a completely different surname. They try to hide it.
I asked
a couple of questions yesterday on Instagram. I don't know if you saw them, but it got a huge response from people. So let me just read these to you quickly as they came up. First question was, do you trust the mainstream media? So out of all the people surveyed, 92% of people said no. 8% of people said yes. So then the next question was, do you trust politicians in our government? 96% of people said no. 4% of people said yes. And then do you trust the medical experts? So 48% of people said yes and 52% of people said no. And then I said, do you trust Keanu Reeves? And 68%.
What?
68% of people said yes. And the balance, what was it, about 30% said no. So people trust, according to this very scientifically inaccurate, non-balanced and slightly tongue-in-cheek poll, people trust in descending order Keanu Reeves, then medical experts, then very much later the mainstream media, and then only politicians. Sounds about right, huh?
That's where we are, I'm afraid. I still can't get over the fact that the Gauteng government or the education department spent 430 million rand on deep cleaning all these schools. And then Penyazi Lesufi, who's the MEC for education, he says he didn't know anything about it. I can't wrap my head around it. It's just, it's
madness.
Incredible.
It's madness.
I can't deal with it.
You don't believe him, do
just
you?
Just insane.
You don't believe
him. That's the thing. That's the thing. I think I do believe him. Which makes it even more crazy. It means he's totally incompetent.
How do you get that much signed off without knowing anything?
Well, because the whole system is either in disarray or corrupt, or just in like all over the place. It's just I just can't get over it.
All right. Well, here's some news headlines. Let's get into them while we're on that tack. So here, first of all, is Sydney Mufamadi speaking on his state capture inquiry testimony. Listen to this for a start.
Dr. Mufamadi, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. First of all, maybe let me start by getting your response and reaction to the attempt by the state security agency minister, Ayanda Dlodlo, to block the testimony of the acting director general. She seemed to suggest she's concerned about issues of national interest and what could have been exposed. Were you surprised by that move?
Well, I thought she explained why she thought that.
This is the kind of thing that he was doing the whole way through his testimony. So the real story here is that Sydney Mufamadi has been very difficult to understand through his testimony. And this is usually what happens when you speak to people who have been in the intelligence business, is because they're so good at evading the actual question that by the time they've given a very long, very wordy answer, you don't know whether you've made progress or not. And while we have no reason to doubt that Sydney Mufamadi is an honest person in this case, it's very hard to understand what he's even talking about half the time. So very, very confusing. Here's another story that I think many people are talking about at the moment. This guy went on the news yesterday on ENCA and started arguing with another parent, by the looks of things. And he's from Kosas. Did you see this story?
Oh, right. Yes.
Yes.
He's a representative of the school. I don't know if he's the principal part of management.
Whether he's a principal or part of management or another parent, he's a white guy. And then this dude from Kosas is wearing ANC colors, and he's arguing that it's a very bad idea to send kids to even private schools. In other words, where the parents have said they want their kids to go to the school. Very bad idea. So this guy is getting involved. I don't know how, because Kosas have got no business involving themselves in private schools. If the parents want to keep their kids out, as I understand it, then they're allowed to do that in private schools. If they want their kids to go, then they're allowed to send them. So I don't know why Kosas are involved here in the first place, but listen to how badly this argument starts to get unraveled, because this was on ENCA yesterday. A lot of people are talking about it, and it's infuriating that we still can't get beyond certain points in an argument. Listen to this.
The Congress of South African Students says it will continue to shut down private schools. It has protested outside the Charterhouse School in Johannesburg. The student body is accusing the school of operating and putting pupils' and teachers' lives at risk. However, the school says that isn't the case. ENCA's Tsehoa Chomoahi has more.
This is the current situation at Charterhouse School in Roodepoort following protest action by Kosas and some ANC Youth League members. They are calling for all...
I mean, frankly, at this point, we should all be thrilled that anyone in Roodepoort is getting an education, right? But here's what the Kosas... I'm sorry, that was unnecessarily mean. Here's the guy from Kosas.
On the 1st of February.
We are then saying that we cannot have schools that are more important than others in this society. Secondly, we are here trying to save lives. This is about saving lives. We are of the view that these schools are opened not because they care about the future and the education of the kids, but because they are chasing profit.
And we wanted the entire MEC, Penyazi Lesufi, to come here himself and tell us why is this school.
I really think that these Kosas guys should have gone to school. Maybe we wouldn't have this problem. It's flabbergasting.
I try to, when people do this kind of thing. I try to see it from their point of view. I try to understand what are they thinking. And I can't.
They're not thinking. So here's the clip that went viral yesterday and it got everybody furious because obviously it breaks down into an argument and the COSAS guy immediately, he picks up, you can see him turn around and he picks up the biggest race card he can find. Listen to this.
There was this confrontation.
What you are doing is genocide.
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 You do not believe we're telling you. Why are you not closing down the school?
There is no requirement for ECD centers to close.
The schools, is it not a school?
A nursery school is a school.
It's a school, but why are you opening it if it's a school?
But it's an early childhood development.
Is it not a school?
It's not.
Is it not a school? Is it not a school?
It's a nursery.
But the school is adamant that only children in the ECD part of this particular school are attending classes under strict COVID-19 protocols.
Anyway, if you want to go and see the whole clip, I've got it on my Instagram as well. But the guy basically says eventually, is it because, you know, your kids are white that they can observe the protocols? Which is just such a stupid argument because, first of all, this guy doesn't have any kids at the school, as I understand it, this COSAS guy. So he's involving himself, he's putting himself between parents and their ability to choose what's right for their kids. And he says it's genocide, this COSAS guy. I mean, it's just not even an argument, you know? It's really not.
There's plenty of black kids at private schools.
Of course.
You know, come on.
Yeah. The uncomfortable truth that he has to face is the fact that he's just scrambling for any thing that he can use to substantiate what he's saying. But what is really getting him upset is the fact that, oh, shucks, well, our kids are getting left behind while other kids are able to go further and educate themselves and learn. Well, sorry, that's just unfortunately the way it is right now. And then I think you're barking up the wrong tree. It's more about talking to government about this.
Yeah, but also these private schools are just starting 2 weeks before the public schools. Mm-hmm. Other schools are going back on the 15th of February. So he's talking about a 2 week head start. I mean, it's just, this whole thing is so absurd.
Genocide is a big genocide word.
And then, you know,
that word genocide is thrown around way too often.
And the moment
racism and sexism.
The moment someone starts saying the same question at very high pitch, three or four times in a row, you know that they've actually run out of ideas and their argument's faltering horribly. And that's
someone squeezing his balls.
Yeah, well, one of those things. Here's another bizarre story. This is about Cell C. Former Cell C executive Mohammed Ismail Adamji was released on 50,000 rand on Tuesday following his appearance at the Joburg Specialized Crimes Court. He was arrested by the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation, that's the Hawks, on Friday and was charged with fraud and corruption for allegedly inflating invoices by information service providers, resulting in losses to the tune of 130 million rand for Cell C. This guy's 44 years old. He was IT manager at one of their service providers and is alleged to have committed the crimes between 2012 and 2019 with a director at one of the mobile network operators' service providers. Isn't that interesting?
I would like to know, like, where did that 130 million rand go? Like, Swiss bank accounts? Where did he put it all? He didn't put it under his mattress.
No, how do you hide 130 million rand? You know?
Well, he did it over a long period, 7 years. He did it over 7 years.
Yeah.
And, like, where? Anyway, sure.
He's quite smart.
The thing is, nobody, you can't get away with it at the end of the day. And it's amazing how the greed just overweighed logic, because you will get caught. It's just you won't get away with it.
And as if we don't need more subjects to discuss this morning, this also came up. Apparently, former President Jacob Zuma's estranged wife, Mantuli, was allegedly unlawfully detained by the State Security Agency after she was accused of poisoning him back in 2014. According to the SSA Director General of the time, Loyiso Jafta, who was testifying before the State Capture Inquiry, apparently what happened was the poison claims were investigated by the State Security Agency, among other law enforcement departments. He said, in essence, Mantuli, was placed into the custody of the SSA following the alleged poisoning plot. Now, this is what we call extrajudicial. In other words, she wasn't detained by the law. She was unlawfully detained by the state security agency. So in other words, if you are a woman who tries to poison, or maybe she didn't try to poison her husband, as the case may be, because he's president, he can go outside of the law and use the security agency to basically lock you up and to keep you in custody. Now, that should scare all of us, right? She was remanded into detention without going through any due processes, Jafta said. And that, you can imagine, is very, very scary. Now, whether or not she did anything wrong, we still have to establish, because she's a free person now, so we can only assume that the allegations were spurious. But Zondo pointed out that if she was detained by an organ of state where no law allowed her to be detained, it would be a very serious matter. On whether Zuma gave the instruction to have his wife detained, this guy said it would be difficult to determine with absolute certainty that the president had given the instruction. But who else would have done it? Right?
How long was she detained for?
She's claiming she wants to sue because she's been through 5 years of hell, where her life has been adversely affected for 5 years. But I'm not sure exactly. I'm not sure exactly what the period of time was that she was detained unlawfully.
Did she disappear from the radar when the whole poisoning allegation surfaced?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then nobody asked any questions. The media didn't ask.
No.
You know what's happened?
No.
Well, because it was so great.
We haven't seen Mantuli.
Well, at that point, we hadn't even seen Jacob Zuma in a while as well. So I can't wait up until she starts singing like a canary.
Oh, it'll be good.
I don't actually think she will, because she probably knows where the bodies are buried. So she might be paid a lot just to keep quiet.
So that's, isn't that a great story? Mm. I mean, I remember when that came out and I was like, wow, this... the wife of the president's trying to poison him. And you know that Lesotho story about the woman who had the other woman killed because the husband had an affair with her?
Yes. What's happened with that case?
It's unbelievable. I don't know what's going on. I think he's dead. He died, I think, just a few months ago. But I haven't been following it since then. But
with the Mantuli story, when it came out that allegedly that she poisoned Zuma, the story just suddenly disappeared.
Yeah.
So it was kind of strange.
Hmm. Well,
apparently, I mean, would you ever, they say you've got to suspect the people closest to you, right? So maybe it's not such a far-fetched idea. If someone was going to poison you, Damon, it would probably be Bernice.
I make my own tea and I do most of the cooking. But yeah, I suppose if she wanted to, she could.
You wouldn't suspect it.
Well, I would think, you know, you don't really cook very often. What's going on? Why do you suddenly want to cook?
You'd be suspicious.
In other sort of quick Zuma news, Zuma, I don't think they're married officially, but the latest and the youngest baby mama is now going to be a reality star. She's starring in The Real Housewives of Durban.
You mean Jacob Zuma's newest wife?
Yes. So she's the young one. I think like she first came to our attention when she just turned 31. She had studied at Varsity College and she had a child by the former president, and now she's going to be one of the stars of Real Housewives of Durban.
A friend of mine is in Umhlanga at the moment, and she said she went for a haircut, and Jacob Zuma came to collect his glasses from the place, the optometrist next door, and he arrived with 7 bodyguards, 2 of whom stood outside, and it's a small place. It's probably the size of a bathroom, and he took all 5 bodyguards in with him. Now, surely during these times of social distancing, and I don't know anyone who wants to kill him right now. I really don't. I mean, even if there are people who want to kill him, what's the difference? I remember when former President Bill Clinton came to South Africa, he may have had more people stationed around the room, but he always only had 2 bodyguards with him. Why does Jacob Zuma need 5? And is it a good idea for him to make such a scene? You know, a lot of the time you can get away with just everybody's wearing a mask, so you can't even tell who's who anymore. He could probably hide his identity in some way with that. Isn't two bodyguards enough? You know, we're paying for that, right?
Gareth, I think plenty of people want to assassinate Jacob Zuma. If the five bodyguards just kept a certain distance from each other, you know, it can be done.
Well, they can't.
But when Bill Clinton was in Johannesburg in 1996, I remember that everything was shut down. His motorcade was coming down the highway. They closed all the on and off ramps. There were snipers on roofs. It was so maybe he's only got two bodyguards in the room with him.
Right.
But then there's all these people. There's people surrounding as well. So, like the whole building shut down.
Yeah.
So then you only need two bodyguards.
You make a good point. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Well, look.
Have you seen Bill Clinton lately? By the way,
oof.
It looks like he's had work done. He's had a lot of work done on his face. He looks very different. He looks like Rene Zellweger.
By the way, this is a great segue to promo tonight's episode of So What Now.
Oh yeah, we've got a bodyguard
on ENCA at 8:30.
That's
yes, Damon.
We've got a bodyguard and secret service agent who worked with the Clintons, the Obamas, the Bushes, and she's a really, really interesting woman. She was also there on September the 11th in World Trade Center Number 7, and she's got some incredible stories to tell. And you don't want to miss that this evening on ENCA at 8:30. And make sure you watch it live. Otherwise, it doesn't count for the ratings. So don't tell me you've recorded it because they don't care.
Oh, yes,
you have to watch it live.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
And also on this evening.
If you're really keen, you can watch tonight on ENCA and then tomorrow on ETV.
Yes, exactly.
Give us all of those.
That would help. So we've also got our three panelists. We've got Rorisang Chabalala, who you remember from CliffCentral.com. He used to do a show with Andrew Levy, and he's on this evening. Also, Gilly Apta, who is a famous comedian, and she's very, very funny, and she was terrific on the show, so you'll see her tonight. And Gabriel Krauser, who has been a guest on the Burning Platform. He's from the Institute of Race Relations. Which dog is that barking?
Sorry, I tried to mute my microphone and then it didn't work. It's Rufus, the blind one. But he has got some sight back.
What do you mean?
So there's the neighborhood dog barking. The neighborhood dogs are barking, so now he's giving a bark.
It's a miracle that he got some of his sight back. How did that happen?
Apparently it can happen. I looked it up.
Oh.
So he got cataracts from diabetes. And apparently it's unusual and it's rare, but the cataract can regress, which has happened.
Okay.
He's got a bit of vision in his left eye. So
hallelujah.
He's able to navigate himself around more.
Okay.
But the urine in the house, the urination in the house we've got three dogs and we put up a fence to shut off the one room. It's pretty drastic. But you know what's a clever little tip?
Yeah.
If your dogs are urinating in certain places, you know what you do? You put dog bedding, you put a cushion or a thing that a dog lies in at that spot. Because instinctively, dogs will not urinate where they sleep.
Hmm.
Isn't that clever?
That is clever.
Something I only just learned recently. And it's actually, they were urinating against this cabinet right behind me.
Yeah.
And we put bedding. We put dog bedding around it. Brilliant. It actually works.
Lenise says, Jacob Zuma probably doesn't know he has seven bodyguards because he can't count. And Mr. Schmangel says, a mask wouldn't disguise Jacob Zuma. He needs a balaclava because anyone who would pass him would know that head belonged to him. I just got to read this. This is something from Duncan, and I think he's probably speaking for a lot of people. He says, I am so sick of lockdown. We've been in some form of lockdown here in the UK since October last year, and I'm battling with loneliness, and I hate this whole phrase, Zoom and Teams, that they're the new normal. I want to have a braai. I want to drink brandy with my friends. I heard a lady on the radio who says that she thinks we will be in some kind of lockdown for at least 4 years. I give it four. You know, well, this is what some people are saying, you know, that this is the way it's going to be for the next foreseeable while. He says, I give it four more months and you will see massive riots. And before you go on a Boris rant, Gareth, just remember that we could have had Jeremy Corbyn as our prime minister. Such a fuck up here in the UK. I've got friends in the UK who are feeling exactly like you, Duncan. And as much as I don't like Boris and I think he's made some terrible decisions, I do think he's made better decisions than Jeremy Corbyn will have made. So I'm glad you made that point, which you did for me. But I do think Boris is also doing the wrong thing just because he realizes that they come up with these snap polls every day and his government is judged on a daily basis by public opinion. And it's unpopular in the UK at the moment because you've got an aging population for people to say lockdowns are a bad idea because old people are more paranoid than anyone else. And old people are nervous and they don't want to go out because most of them are on pensions. It doesn't matter if they don't go out. They can live at home and they can go and do their shopping and they don't need to leave their house. Younger people need to work. Some of them will not earn a cent because they work in jobs where you have to be physically present. And therefore, lockdowns are not popular with very young people. But unfortunately, the average voter in the UK is a lot older than the average voter in a place like South Africa. So those old people would rather err on the side of safety, than err on the side of giving people the freedom to do their thing and to make their own decisions. And this is what's happening in the UK at the moment. So I feel desperately sorry for you. But I don't think it's going to change in the UK for some time because, as I mentioned a second ago, the old people have got the political clout. And people like Boris are so afraid of being seen to be doing nothing. You know, if you as a government decided to abandon lockdowns, then it looks like you're not doing anything to prevent the spread of the virus. Even if that is a safer option, even if it's been proven as it has been many times over, and especially in a recent survey that was done by two specific scientists whose names elude me for the moment, but I'll find them for you in a second and tell you after seven, that lockdowns have made no difference. No difference when it comes to the spread and the death toll. So people, if you're in government, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place because if you do nothing and you let people carry on with their day and you tell them they can, you know, just go to work, there's no need for them to enforce a curfew or for you to maintain social distancing or mask wearing or any of that stuff, then people are sometimes going to get it right and sometimes going to get it wrong. But it looks like you as the government are doing nothing. And remember, politicians are always looking at the popularity polls. So someone like Boris is more worried about his own future than he is about yours. That's just the way it is. I feel very sorry for you, Duncan. I don't know what to say. That's just how it is.
Sorry, just to put it into context, what is the extent of lockdown in England? Just
huge.
So I understand.
They're basically it's a stricter lockdown than what we've got here. Restaurants are closed, bars are closed. There's no socialization at all. I think if you live in the same house as someone, you're allowed to spend time with them, even outside the house. But everything is very much locked down. There are curfews in place. There are stay-at-home orders. It's crazy.
Okay.
But what I think is working better in an instant like the UK is the fact that they have different tiers for different parts. So, you know, if a certain part of the city or town is doing better, then they can be a little downgraded.
They've got different
Here
tiers.
Here we have one full blanket for the whole country.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so some people are still allowed to go out and exercise outside or walk outside. That helps then for us who just have a one-size-fits-all approach. And I don't know why in the beginning I was a little shocked to hear that assumption that was made in the message that we could be stuck in some form of lockdown for 4 years. Because look at us. We're reaching a year. And every now and then we get some sort of justification as to why it needs to go on, and why it needs to go on again. So we'll blink and it will be 4 years later if we aren't careful.
I don't want four more years of this or three more years. I don't even want another four more months of this. Damon, a lot of people are saying this
second wave is going. They say this second wave now is going down. So they're saying we've got to lift certain things. They've got to unban alcohol. They've got to lift the curfew at least. You know, just because the whole restaurant industry is about to collapse completely, completely.
It seems like we're going over old territory. I often feel like we get here in the mornings and it's like Groundhog Day. Apparently, Mr. Schmangel says that you have a bunch of disrespectful dogs, Damon, just pissing everywhere they want to. You have to train them.
Yeah, no, look, it's a sore point. You know, the one dog we got him when he was already 4 months old, and he wasn't neutered. And I said to Bernice, when he was 6 months old, I said, you've got to neuter him right now.
Yeah.
And she refused. She said, I like his testicles. She said, those were her words.
Oh,
I like his testicles. Can you believe it?
That's ridiculous.
I mean, it's like, I've got testicles. It's really not a big deal. It's a dog. So he was only neutered when he was already a year old. So the habit of pissing is there.
It's ingrained.
Then the blind dog is pissing all over the place to help him guide himself. Then we got somebody living in our cottage. We've got somebody living in our cottage who's got two Dachshunds. So now there's a territorial battle. So there was an increase in urination there. Carpet cleaners came into our, we actually did have the house like cleaned, the carpets. Bernice insists that the lounge still smells of urine. She phoned the carpet guy to complain that the lounge still smells of urine. And she's moaning because I've got this large Persian carpet from my family.
Yeah.
My parents bought it in 1963. That carpet has seen dog shit. It's seen it all. Anyway, so now Bernice says I must take this carpet outside and I must wash it with a hose pipe.
Or air it
out. Do you know how big this carpet? This carpet is huge.
Yeah.
The carpet is, it's like, sure, it's about maybe 10 by 15 meters. It's a huge carpet.
Whoa.
You can't spray down a Persian carpet with a hose pipe. I mean, you'll ruin it.
You can't.
It'll be destroyed. Mm-hmm. You have to get professionals to do it.
Well, I don't think, funnily enough, it won't be ruined. Because we, many, many years ago, we had a huge flood in our lounge when I was growing up, and the whole Persian carpet got flooded.
No,
so it actually didn't get ruined. You know, think about it. I mean, Aladdin flew on a carpet and he flew in the rain. It's like these carpets come from Iran. You think there's the dust, there's the heat. You think it can handle the conditions? You know, these carpets are pretty hardy. You know, you don't just, you know, it's not like a, it's not a Fabergé egg. You know, it's a carpet. People walk in them, you know.
All right. Well, in the next hour, we've got lots to talk about. I want to discuss an ad that I saw, and there's this uproar. You know, there's a South African advertising regulatory body or whatever they're called, and they rule on whether or not – I don't know what they're called. This one is different. It's not ASA. That's the Advertising Standards Authority. We had our run-ins with them many times. But this is something else called the Advertising Regulatory Council, and they've
ruled – ARA.
Association, that's right. They've ruled on some ad that came out, a Windhoek beer ad, which I saw with Gerard Butler in it. And apparently this has got to do with toxic masculinity. You're not going to believe how stupid this is. And we'll talk about it just now because I want to hear what your thoughts are. And maybe in the next few days we'll speak to someone from the Advertising Regulatory Association to find out whether those people have their heads completely up their asses or only halfway. Because it just doesn't make any sense at all. I've seen the ad, and I don't understand how they come to the conclusions that they've come to. But clearly they've been pulled in the direction of one complainant who has a problem with this ad. And I'd love to hear what you think of this. It's completely ridiculous, in my opinion, that there is even such a thing as a body that responds to one person complaining and then cancels an ad that has probably cost millions to make. Merely because one person is offended. It's just mad. Mad, 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 and quite stupid, and makes us all look like, you know, if aliens landed, they wouldn't believe how dumb we were on the basis of these kinds of decisions. So we'll talk about that. We've also got to get into something that Sia is very embarrassed to admit that happened to him, that's humiliating in a way that very few things are humiliating. So you've got to be careful because when we talk about these things here, often people remember them for much longer than you would like. So
yeah,
if you like Sia humiliating himself, you will hear more about that in the next hour. Cliffcentral.com. I hope you're ready for a good day today. It is Wednesday. We're here to look after you.
Cliffcentral.com.